at least our days, yes, we will pick up on Sunday. The beginning of end of Parshas Vayetze, there's a lot of similarities that occur between the beginning of the Parsha and the end of the Parsha. In the beginning of the Parsha, Yaakov is dealing with rocks. At the end of the Parsha, he's dealing with rocks. In the beginning of the Parsha, he's interacting with angels. At the end of the Parsha, he's interacting with angels. In the beginning of the Parsha, he's on a journey. At the end of the Parsha, he's on a journey. In the beginning of the Parsha, he's trying to, you know, leave the place he was for a while, embarking upon a brand new enemy who has no idea anything about, love one. And at the end, he's embarking upon a brand new enemy who has totally lost track of, Esau. And the two major enemies he, Yaakov, embarks on or prays, you know, encounters in general, two that he meets in the beginning and end of the Parsha. And if you're not yet convinced that there's like a bookend and unit type of thing, there's not one psucha or stum, it's one long paragraph the entire Parsha. And the second he leaves his house, till the second he gets back. However, there's a major difference. When Yaakov left, he left a single man. When he came back with four wives and 12 children. When he left running away from his brother Esau. When he returned ready to encounter his brother Esau. When he left fleeing, weak, and unable to stand up for himself. And that's why he's taken advantage of in Laban's house for so long, to the point where the salary changes 20 times, and he marries women he's not interested in marrying. He's heavily taken advantage of. However, at the end of the Parsha, he's standing up for himself, preparing for war, praying, giving Esau the gifts, dividing the tent, doing everything he needs to do. And in a certain sense, this week's Parsha is where Yaakov grows up. Perhaps Yaakov grows from a single person to a family man, from someone running to someone proud. And one of the beauties of this week's Parsha is that you capture both elements. On the one hand, he's different. He's grown up. He's moved on. And simultaneously, he's still dreaming of angels. He's still interacting with the rocks. There's a certain similarity and difference that exists. And as he grew up religiously, which I guess parallels growing up in general, there's a duality, I think, that one's supposed to try to accomplish. On the one hand, you grow up, you become more sophisticated. You grow up, you become more mature. As a kid, they tell you Torah is really important, and you believe them. And then you grow up, and you see the brilliance of Torah, and you see how important Torah is for guiding your life and the world and direction. You're like, wow, I internalize that difference. As a kid, they tell you you should put a penny into the pushk every single day. And when you grow up, you realize you should be supportive of people and helping people who need help. And the greater form of tzedakah is not just putting a penny to the pushka, but training people how to stand up for themselves and function properly in the world, not to give man a fish, but to train him how to fish. As a child, you're taught midrashim are really cute, and you believe them on a cute level, and as you grow up, you begin to see the profundity of them. And part of religious growth is to grow up and move on. Part of religious growth is to develop further. Part of religious growth is to embrace the same mitzvahs with a different sophistication, a different level, a different appreciation, a different internalization of them. If your religious growth hasn't improved in the last 10 years, you're doing something wrong. From 9 to 19, you should have a lot more sophistication. If you think back to 4th grade or 5th grade or year 7 or whatever they call it, you know, year 6... And you are the same person you were then, you're missing something. If you're religiously the same person you were then, you're missing something. Higher level of Jewish education is about continuing to develop, not just in knowledge, but in religious growth, in emotional depth. And simultaneously, as you grow up, it's important to maintain a lot of that young naivety as well. The story that pops into my mind, and I hope I'm not overly self-advertising. The greatest tefillah I've ever had in my life, in my entire life, occurred when I was post 8th grade. I was, what about the truth? You know, I wasn't from, you know, keep Shabbos at least until the end of 8th grade. Kind of flipped down to NCSY. And I remember laying in my bed the last night before I went to sleepaway camp, davening to Hashem. I was going to a non-religious sleepaway camp, it's called Bronx House and Annual Camp, in Copake, New York. And I remember they used to, I got a grad school there, I couldn't keep sits, I couldn't keep Shabbos, because I was too embarrassed, I was a little kid, you know. No one in the campus from, I couldn't handle it. And I remember, like, my most powerful tefillah in my life, I was laying in bed the night before camp, crying my eyes out in the bed, Hashem said, please bring the Mashiach so I wouldn't have to go to camp. No, I'd be from a camp, it was heart-wrenching. It really just unbelievably, I found it very difficult. I knew I wasn't going to work tzitzis, I always put on tefillah, and I didn't have strength. And on the one hand, I'm very proud of that tefillah because it's unbelievably, it was the most emotional I'd ever been in my life. I've never felt more connected. I felt like Hashem was listening. I felt very much connected simultaneously. It's probably one of the most selfish tefillahs of my life. My point was basically, you know, God, change around the whole cosmos of the world because the 13-year-old kid who can't stand up to peer pressure. You know, egotistical, self-centered. In other words, it's all about, like, if you want to bring Mashiach later, like, I'm not interested in what you want to do, God. You know what I mean? Like, you have a bigger plan for the world. Those are, like, details. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't stand up to my 13-year-old friends and be a strong individual. I guess as one grows up, I'm not sure if you remember, as I grew up, you try your best to develop a sense of sophistication. Again, you want to do mitzvahs on a different level. You want to be able to handle the asavs in life. When you move into the world, you shouldn't let people take advantage of you. When you move into the world, you have to take care of, well, hopefully just one wife these days, but children, a wife and children. And it's not the same when you leave your parents' house single. You grow up, you have responsibilities, you have to engage in the world on a different level. And that's something that you're supposed to do. But the godless of Yaakov, he was dreaming about the exact same angels on the way back from Laban's house as the way he went in. He maintained a sense of that childish naivety which enabled him to reach great spiritual heights. And the more you grow up, the more you shouldn't. The more you become sophisticated and profound and detailed, nuanced, broad-minded individual, the more religion's supposed to expand your religious horizons, the more you think on a high level, the more you have depth to your avodah. You daven on a different level. Your word tzitzis, not just throwing them on, but you think about what they mean. Being nice is not just when your mother says, say please, and you say please. You genuinely appreciate people giving you things. You develop emotional appreciation, a deep, profound sense of Hakaras HaTov. And as you do that, it's important not to lose that childish naivety. You know, my son walks over to my daughter this morning and says, you know, you look very good. Like, not bashful. You know, one of the Chassidish rabbis says, you know, the reason why we kiss children is because they're naive and simple. He has a second point, which is a little bit connected, a little bit different. He goes, the reason why adults have a tough time making up after a fight is because they all want to be right. Children just want to be happy. It's a lot easier to make up after a fight if you want to be happy. Like, hold a grudge? What do I need that for? I'd rather just move on and have play together. Adults, I want to hold a grudge. I don't want to be happy. I want this guy to be wrong. Part of that childish naivety is just to, like, want to love life, want to love Hashem, want to move forward. And I guess what Yaakov synthesized, I believe, beautifully, was developing depth to his religious personality, depth to his understanding, while simultaneously maintaining that sense of child naivety. Where Kodesh Baruch, when angels are involved in your life, when you need something, you turn up to Hashem and you pray. When you love people just because they're people. When you value happiness more than grudges. Learning from Yaakov, meaning we should continue growing with sophistication and depth while maintaining our child naivety and innocence. We should all be Zoha. Have a good Shabbos.